Hello.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can. I think everything is running. That's the thing I hate with these things is you have to like really make sure everything is synced up and make sure everything is like the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, especially with all this technology, which isn't really much. But I found myself doing one really long interview once. I'm just gonna go right into it. I was doing an interview for like 3 hours. It was a really good conversation. And I wasn't recording any of it. And I was like, oh no, can you just tell me all those poignant facts and all those poignant life stories?
No, that's
And
probably why you have like the auto record. Like every meeting is just recorded, so I don't have to deal with that.
because I'm super clumsy and I forget things like that. So thanks again for having this time to talk to me. You're also listening to Down the Rabbit Hole podcast on 98.3 KMWV. Again, thanks. I think it's really cool that we have this platform like matchmaker.fm. I always praise that site, if
Yeah.
anything, for bringing a bunch of creatives and just people, who want to just be a guest. Like some people I talk to, they don't even have a podcast. They're just like, I just want to talk. And I said,
Cool.
perfect. We love talking. So I think it's
That's
really cool.
awesome. I'm like 6 minutes into one of your episodes right now, and it's about the Parisian like murderer guy. And who knows, maybe that's not even like his thing, but that's like as far as into it that I'm in. And I'm like, oh no, I need to get on this meeting, but this is so good. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah, fun fact, that dude's from Paris and he is a convicted murderer and
Yeah.
cannibal. And I thought that was the
Yep.
weirdest thing. And dude still has a taste for, I mean, spoiler alert.
I was gonna say, what? Where are we going with this?
Spoiler alert, dude still has a taste for humans. Yeah.
Well, okay. I'm like immediately after this conversation going and listening to the rest of it because it was interesting for sure.
Yeah, and it was just a weird conversation. And like, I don't know if you believe in like spirits or demons, but like, dude had such a weird like Nico, shout out to you if you listen to me, but homie, you had a weird vibe and you were like very dark and you know it and you know it. You know how dark
Yeah.
you were. Because we were talking about like he has all these like memorabilia from Charles Manson, like he has his hair, Charles Manson's hair. He has the dirt from the John Wayne Gacy's basement or whatever when he would murder people. And
Wow.
he threw these all on a Ouija board. So like I believe like negative energy carries. So we did talk about energy, and it's like you'll hear it, but like my audio starts cutting out, and I believe like negative energy is a real thing. I had to do like a cleansing when I was
I
done.
was like, did you immediately go like either like take a shower or like meditate or
I
something?
needed it.
Just
I needed to do some sage, like a sage like clean in my house because I felt so weird. Like I have a brand new computer, I have a brand new setup. Nothing should be faulty, but when we start talking about demons, everything starts glitching out apparently. And I thought it
Oh
was really
wow.
random and really scary because then like I didn't process the audio, I didn't do anything, but like you hear the like a breathing kind of like a heartbeat kind of thing going, and I didn't process that. I didn't people are like, you probably made that up. I'm like, no, I didn't. Like this is just like how it happened.
I
And
believe in all that shit. So it is like energy, like all of that is absolutely real, and you definitely absorb some of it. So hopefully all is good now.
I feel like I got it, but it was a good episode. I thought it was really cool, and I want to talk to
Yeah.
more. I mean, if I can talk to more murderers, actually, okay, real quick, if have you ever wondered like murderers are scary, serial killers are scary, but they got caught. They're the ones that got caught. So, like, how many people do you go on your day to day like do weird stuff, and they're just like living their day to day?
So, fun fact, I am in Portland, Oregon, and one of my friends, I'm not going to say her name, is actually dating somebody that killed somebody that like it was like quote unquote self-defense, and I don't know the story, so maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. And for the first few dates, she was like, this is maybe just my weird thing because I'm attracted to like not healthy relationships. But like, turns out he's like a really good guy, but still, like, it's a tiny part of you, wouldn't you be like, this guy killed somebody? Like, it takes something to kill somebody, right? It doesn't just like
Right.
happen. But anyway.
I feel like that's a heavy thing to have on. And really quick,
Yeah.
shout out to you. Like you're probably the closest person. I'm in Salem, so I'm like that way.
Yeah,
I'm like in
that's what I
Salem.
saw.
I'm in Salem, so like we're really close by. I'm in
Absolutely.
Portland like every other weekend, so it's like yeah, no, we're really close by. So that's pretty cool to finally meet someone who's like close by, like everyone's like all over the
Absolutely.
place,
Yeah.
and I just like to jump in, and that's just how it is because I'm all ADD all over the place. But kid, you tell me who you are and tell everyone what you're about, and tell us a little bit about yourself so we can go into these rabbit holes because I got the shovel ready.
Absolutely. So I'm Kelly, and I am the founder of Money Gal Coaching, and it is a business where I help predominantly women, but I've obviously had male clients as well, get out of debt and basically through the art of budgeting. And this has not been a lifelong passion. This is something that I kind of stumbled upon when, like a lot of millennials, I was just sick and tired of my student loans. And I was like, I am hustling and I am paying, I'm making decent money and I'm making my payments every month. How come I'm not like paying them off? Like, what am I doing wrong? Right. And so I just got obsessed and probably dug down all of the rabbit holes of like, how do I get rid of my debt? How do I pay this off early? Just what do I need to do? And I found a million personalities along the way, of course, as you can probably imagine a few. And I ended up paying over $46,000 in 20 months. Just because I was like, I'm absolutely fed up with this. And during that journey, I started posting it on Instagram just to like hold myself accountable because I wanted my friends to be like, hey, what are you doing with debt? Or have you paid anything off? Because of course, everyone wants to be like, ask you those questions, assuming you didn't pay anything, right? That you just like put it out there one day. And then towards like the end of it, towards the end of the 20 months, people were like, okay, tell me more about this, because everyone started coming out of their little like corners of the world because we don't talk about money, and we do, but we don't talk about like the real hard stuff with especially like friends and family. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I do, and dig into people's finances, question them about their spending habits, but more importantly, goal setting and figuring out what do I want to accomplish in my life and how can I just make it happen.
And I want to I feel like I'm going to expose myself a lot too, but
Ooh.
because I've been really bad with money for the first so I'm 30 now. I'm officially 30 as of in August.
Welcome.
Yeah. And they give you a bottle of ibuprofen. I didn't know that. I was really excited when you turned 30. And so then for the first when I turned 18, I didn't know what I was doing. I fell in love. I thought it was I'm falling in love and I'm gonna live with somebody. And it just turned out it was gas and it was nothing. I was just bad diarrhea. I had a stomach ache. And but through that whole relationship, I was spending money like crazy. And I didn't realize how much of it was just fast food alone and just stuff that I didn't need. And I did put myself in debt really badly through the first like credit card companies barely started talking to me within the last 4 years, 4 to 3 years if anything, because I had such a bad credit score. I would take out loans, I took out credit cards, I took out all this stuff, and I wasn't even fully in school, like university like that. I did a trade school, but I was never in a real full university where you have tuition and stuff. And so then here I am throwing myself in debt, and I'm like, I looked at it and I was like, most of this is McDonald's, and it pissed off so much.
What, paying 20% interest? Yeah.
Exactly.
It's
So,
go ahead.
oh no. So it's like, how many times do you see people run into those things when you consult with people? I don't want to say it's a dumb purchase because someone's gonna get real offended. Like, McDonald's isn't dumb. Yes, it is. It's kind of dumb.
It's so funny because my first thing with people is like there are no judgments. Like I spend a lot of money on like booze and like going to happy hour with friends. Like that's what brings me joy. I like experiences. I like spending time with people. That is like totally not happening in these days, right? Like we're in a world where that we don't get to do that as much, especially, but that's what brings me joy. And I don't buy clothes and I don't really like spend money in certain areas that other people do. And so the first thing is figuring out like what is important to you. Like what do you love to blow money on and you're not going to be sorry about it. There's of course all those like cliches of like I want my daily Starbucks and I'm not going to say no to it, or like I spend stupid amounts of money on like a gym membership, or all that kind of stuff. But the first thing that I have people do, it's a free tool on my website. It's this 90-day tracker, and what it is you write out all the ways that you spend money, everything that you every time you swipe your card for the past 90 days, and it automatically categorizes it. And that is like so eye-opening for people because there will be people that are like, I spend apparently $300 a month on nails, or who even knew that I had like $75 worth of subscriptions, or I didn't even know that like one could spend this much money at Target, right? And so you have, and I often ask people like, what is the thing that you regret the most? And everyone always has a different answer. It's usually clothes, it's usually restaurants, vacations that they maybe can't afford. But yeah, fast food is a fun one because it's just those like $5, $6, $7 things that add up so frequently. And on top of that, we're still going out to eat at restaurants and we're also still buying groceries. And so it just like explodes the like food, the amount of money that we're spending on food, which is sometimes a little disheartening. But I mean, hey, you can't change anything that you don't know about, right?
Exactly. And like on my 9 to 5, when I'm not doing like this podcast or radio, you know, I work in as a medical assistant. So then I see a lot of the people. I'm gonna throw my coworkers under the bus, but like all they do is eat out half the time. And like I see people eating out, eating out, eating out, and like, we're gonna eat out to lunch. And then I'm like, cool. And you spend like $13 on the lunch, which is like crazy. 'Cause I'm like, that's a lot for lunch. Food doesn't sustain you. You know what I mean? It's just temporary. Like, it's not like a full meal, like dinner. I don't categorize like dinner. And then they still go out to eat later. And they're like, oh, we went out to, you know, to the Ram or something. And I'm like, yo, that's so expensive. I mean, call me cheap, but like before I'd be like, yes, I'm down. Let's do it. Let's buy Starbucks. Let's do all this. But like that adds up. I didn't realize how bad it added up until I was realized I'm like 4 credit cards deep. My credit score is at like 300. And I took out a credit card just to buy nonsense.
And it becomes like a thing where it's like when you sit back and reflect on it, it's like maybe like fast food is your thing because you have a crazy busy life, you hate cooking, you don't like to go out to big fancy dinners, and like fast food is cheaper, right? Like it could be your thing, but also when you sit back and think about it, like especially since I think like the way that you're approaching it is like, is it worth maxing out 4 credit cards and having a shitty credit score for like McDonald's? And you're clearly saying like absolutely not. Like I would have rather done a million probably other things besides that. And it's amazing the things that we spend money on and like our house. And that's like getting on a budget and figuring out your money. It's not about like getting on a budget. It's not about like all that. It's about like having money to do what is actually important to you. And like the biggest perk for me paying off my student loan debt was I'm able to like take a job that I want that pays less money, but it actually makes me more happy. I was able to quit my like side gig of waitressing 4 nights a week because I didn't make enough money at my day job. We were able to move across country. Like you're able to say yes to so many things when you don't have this like monthly payment. Car payments are the exact same way, right? It's this item that depreciates over time. We're losing value in cars, yet we're having these monthly payments. And so you're paying money on something that's losing value. And that $300 a month, people, you know, you often think that like, oh, $200 isn't bad for a car payment. I can easily afford that. It'll be pay off in 5 or 7 years, whatever, right? But if I were to ask you, like, what if I just like handed you a check for like $300 a month? Like, would you choose to like get a car payment, or would you like go on like a bomb vacation a couple times a year, or would you just like go and take more long weekend trips? Would you go out to eat more often? Like, what would you be doing with that money? And that's how I want people to start thinking about it. It's not like, can I afford this debt? But it's like, is the debt what I would choose to spend my money on?
I like how you put that, because like, no, and like, and for most people, like even for me, car payments are essential. I don't get a car, I don't have a means of transportation. Is that part of your system, is like finding ways to have people like get transportation too, or with included with everything? Because again, like I can tell you 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10 people would be like, I don't have a car, I can't drive. That's it, I can't get a job.
And so like, yes, absolutely, transportation is essential, but I question people when they buy that $30,000 car, like is that essential transportation, right? And
Right.
this all comes down to what is important for you. I'm not knocking the car people. Some people are like, a car is my number one. I have to have a nice one. I want it to be cleaned on the regular. I want, you know, all the stuff. Absolutely. Let's just make sure that it fits within your income, within your budget. And global pandemic, hello. Let's try to pay off that car as soon as we can. Even if it is 30,000, you can pay it off in a couple of years, people. Like I promise you it's doable. Let's pay it off. That way, if a pandemic does happen once in a lifetime and we all lose our jobs, you don't have to worry about that monthly payment and you can still have that car and not stress about, do I have to sell my car so that I can afford to pay my rent? Because that is the last place that I want people to be in. And it's a place that we didn't think that we would all be in of overnight losing all of our jobs. Hey, guess what? There's also no side hustles because no one can work in a restaurant. No one's working at shops. All the events industry is put down. All the entertainment industry is put down. And so what do? And we all realize that. And so I'm getting a lot of people that are coming to me that are saying, okay, what can I do? And it's not always I want to pay off my debt. Some of my clients are like, I know it's risky. paying off my debt isn't my number one goal. My number one goal is to have a fat savings account. I want to have an emergency fund. I want to know that I have money in the bank. And I want to make sure that I take my family on a vacation every year because it's really important to me. And then so debt becomes a little back burner. We still have it on a plan to eventually pay off, don't get me wrong, but it's not your number one hustle. Every single penny that you make goes towards debt kind of a plan. And so that's what I try to inspire people about is this personal finance thing. It just is about what do you want out of your life and how can we get you there? Maybe it's paying off debt. Maybe it is just going on vacation with your family.
And I mean, how do you approach the clients that do want to just have a fat bank account, and they're like, yeah, we I mean the last okay 3 years now we're in a pandemic. It's weird. We're in year three now though.
Right?
What do you do? How do we save when we're not getting anything? Like, you're not saving, and you can't do anything. Are those people like, I don't want to say hopeless, but like you feel hopeless, you
Are
know what
you
I mean?
screwed? Yeah,
Yeah.
no, totally. You have to, it starts with the, again, that 90-day tracker tool is so eye-opening and anyone can do it on anything. It's just a spreadsheet and it's figuring out how much you spend on a normal basis, right? And so it's figuring out where's your money currently going because 9 times out of 10, people are saying, I'm broke, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, I don't know where my money is going. And then we're looking at that spreadsheet. McDonald's is popping up all over the place. They bought this brand new jacket at Target for $300. They also have a $400 a month car payment. Like, that's where your money is going. And again, I'm not knocking you, but I'm just saying you're not as broke as you maybe think you are, right? And so
Right.
to those, to the first step to anyone is just figure out where your money is going. It might not be as scary and as bad as you think it is, right? And then the second step is let's try to live within your means. You might have a really good income. Great, then you have more money to play with. If you have a smaller income, we just have to make sure we're using every dollar to its best ability. And if fattening up your savings account and saving money for an emergency fund is your goal, then all of that extra money, even like $10, $15 a month, that all should be going towards just like setting money aside.
So when you finally, get your spreadsheet going and find out where you're going wrong, roughly how many steps? Because it sounds like you're going on a very step-to-step basis on how to do this, program that you have made for yourself. After how many steps do you start seeing results?
And so it depends on how ambitious you're going to be. It depends on like how willing are you to like dig in and do the work, right? I often compare this to like losing weight, which is like the worst thing ever, right? It's like, we all want to lose weight. It's all great. And then the second a personal trainer tells us we need to work out 4 nights or 4 days a week and we need to eat healthy and we need to stop drinking alcohol, we're like, Mom, do I want to lose weight? Or am I like,
Right.
oh, am I like pretty okay as long as I like keep don't not gaining weight, right? And this is the same exact thing. It's I can't lose the weight for you. You have to really want it. And so the people that want it see results a lot more quickly. And honestly, I just started a group coaching course in January here, like new year, new you, right? And some of the clients we've only had like what, 2 sessions. And the clarity that people get in just seeing where their money is going and how to make a plan that actually it actually includes all the parts in their life that they want in the future to make them happy, that brings a ton of just peace and clarity to them. And so I would argue that people are already seeing results in like a couple of weeks because you can see this isn't as bad as I thought, or this was actually pretty bad. And I didn't even realize it. And I'm glad that I found out now so that I can actually change something about it. But I mean, I wasn't making 6 figures and I paid off $46,000 in 20 months. And so it's absolutely possible. It's just a matter of figuring out what is your primary goal? Is it paying off debt or is it kind of more the lifestyle stuff? How much income am I working with? And then where's my money currently going so that I can make sure that I'm aligning it into the right places?
That's wild that you say 20 months because that's literally nothing in the universe.
Right?
And I guess how dramatically or how drastically did your life change when you decided to say, I'm going to do this, and you started doing it? Like, you must have made some cuts here and there. And how did you change like that and that mentality? Because half of the battle is telling yourself, I'm gonna do it. So what changed
Yeah,
for you?
yeah. I became obsessed. And so like to put it in perspective, like you said, 20 months isn't that long. If you would have asked me in that, I would have been like another day, another like, you know, it can get to be long. And a lot of people do have longer journeys than that. It is a lot more than 20 months. But I wanted it. I was not There was nothing that anyone could have said to me because I was so sick and tired of making $600 a month to student loans. I paid them for 8 years and it had paid off like 8 grand at that point. Like I had, to the beginning of our conversation, I had over $60,000 of student loan debt and I went to a state school in Minnesota. Like
Oh my
kudos
God.
to me because not a lot of people can like graduate with 60 grand from a state school. And so, and I had like a great time. Obviously, I took out a lot of student loans. I used every single penny of it. Some of it went towards like living and beer, I'm sure. But after those 8 years of paying off loans and not seeing any bit of a difference, I was like, and I'm done. Like, this is where I work too much to like feel this broke, right? And so the biggest thing that I had to cut out was honestly eating out and booze. But here's the thing. I didn't have to like restrict myself. I just had to not spend $200 at the bar every time I went out, right? Like
Right.
I can still like have fun. I just need to like reel it in a little bit and not like have, I'm not buying everyone shots every time we go out, right? And so just because you're on this like plan to pay off your debt or you want to get really aggressive, it doesn't mean that you have to like never go out to eat again. Dave Ramsey always jokes about you'll never see the inside of a restaurant unless you're working at one. And that was absolutely not my mentality. And that's part of the reason why I created this plan was because I wanted to pay off debt and I wanted to be aggressive about it, but I also wanted to go on vacation. I also wanted to have fun and do things. And I did. I went on trips and I could have paid off my debt a lot quicker than 20 months if I would have like, cut out everything in my life. But I knew, and this is what I tell people all the time, if you're so restrictive, there's no way that you will stick to it. Just like when we lose weight, we're like, I'm not going to eat a carb for the rest of my life, right? And we can't do it because it's not realistic. And so let's still go out to eat. Let's still spend money on that fancy car. Let's still buy clothing if that's important to you. Because I would rather you be spending a little bit of money to make you happy so that the long game you still accomplish your goals.
I mean, I like that because, like, I mean, you tell me right now, and to do something, I probably wouldn't do it unless I want to. And so, I guess if I have to cut things out, like, it would have to be on my terms. So I can see how it, especially when you come in terms of money. I hate talking about money. I hate people talking about money to me. I hate when like people are like, what do you tell me your tell me how much you make? And I'm like, no, I don't want to. And then they tell me their
That's the
stores.
first question that I ask clients. I'm
I
like,
would,
how much do you make and how much debt do you have? And
and
they're
the
like,
and
oh, we're like getting into it, aren't
yeah.
we?
And I mean, you have to. I feel like you totally have to. But this is like strangers when they ask me, like, how much money are you making? I'm like, go away. Don't talk to me. Do you feel like you okay? Well, let me go like here. Because you did in 20 months. Did you do you feel any of that pressure if you don't see your clients succeed? Because that's a lot of pressure. That's other people's, not saying you're directly handling their money, but you have a play in that. What's your success rate? And do you feel pressure if they don't meet that success rate?
Absolutely. This is such a long-term thing. It's a life-changing thing that to me the success rate isn't about the amount of debt that you pay off in X amount of time. It's about like the confidence that you can actually manage your money and knowing that you can adjust the plan as needed, knowing that you have a plan and knowing that you're not living paycheck to paycheck. That to me is a win. Because a lot of us, our priorities change. So while I might be working with you in the beginning and your goal is to like pay off all this debt as soon as possible, I'm not going to be doing anything except paying off debt. What if your wife gets pregnant next week or whatever? And then we're like, well, now we're saving for a baby, right? Like you're no longer paying off debt. Now you're like your whole plan shifts. But to be able to say, okay, no big deal, I got this, not oh my God, my whole world is going up in flames because now it's not about debt, it's about a baby. What the hell do I do? That would be not successful. And I would say my success rate is pretty good. I've had, of course, as we all have working in the service industry, clients that figured out a little bit into the process that this wasn't for them. They're not into the I'm paying off debt journey, right? Which is totally fine because there's nothing worse than making someone pay debt that doesn't want to. Just like there's nothing worse than me like trying to make someone lose weight if they're not ready for it, right? But what I do is very like 101. This is like personal finance 101. It's about knowing how much income we have and knowing what our expenses are. And unfortunately, we're not taught these things. But fortunately, it's really easy to learn. And so luckily, I'm not trying to show you what investing is and mutual funds versus stocks versus IRAs. Like we don't even get into that. We just talk about hey, before, if you, even if investing is a thing that you want to do, how much money can you even afford to invest with? So.
Do people mistake you and your services for like buying like crypto and like NFTs and just like all the
Oh,
like people think
yes.
like they should like what are you really trying to do here kind of thing?
And I'm like, first of all, that's not my scope of service. If you've ever looked at my website, you would know that I'm not an investing guru. I'm also not credentialed, so I don't claim to be, because legally I could get in trouble if I was like telling you what to do with investing. But also, it goes back to that. I always talk to those people. Not like I'm, of course, I'm trying to pitch my services, but I'm like, hey, just, I don't do that, FYI, but curious, you know, how much you can afford to invest every month. And nobody knows, because investing is like the sexy part of finances, right? Like, we all want to like put into our 401k, get the employer match. We want to all find those stocks that like we make it rich, like Apple in 1990 or 1980. But before all of that can happen, we need to know how much can we even afford to invest each month. And that's kind of where I come in. So it's a sweet spot.
I like that because it's not as intimidating. And I guess when I see that, because you're not the first person I've seen on Instagram. You're not the first, you're definitely not going to be the last person I see on Instagram that talks about money and trying to help
Yeah.
finances in that sense. But I think what set you apart and what I've seen from your whole vibe is you're less intimidating. And I like that because you're more approachable. Like if I walked you up in the street, and we had this conversation, like I feel like it'd be flow naturally versus like, I don't feel like you're trying to push something on me. And all those people, like if you see them on Instagram, those money gurus and things like that, and they have almost similar stories. I paid off this much with this much.
Yeah.
They're so aggressive. Ain't nobody want to talk to nobody like that. And I think I like your human qualities that you make it feel like, hey, like I legit was, you make it personal. And I like that. I think that's really cool, you know?
Thank you. I mean, I just like frankly love budgets, and I frankly, unfortunately, really love personal finance. And I will talk to anybody on the street about like, hey, like I get all those like bot or bot like comments on my posts of like, you should start following this account. And I'll be like, hey, but have you heard about a budget yet? Or like, because it's truly life changing. I am still on a budget to this day. I'm obsessed with this specific app, and because I know it changed my life. And I all I want is for other people to know about this, because we were not taught about it in school. And if you can just learn what a little bit of intentionality can do with your money, it's amazing the progress that you can make in, again, like 20 months. And we've been in a pandemic for almost 3 years. And so you could have done this like two times already, right? And so it's about like starting today and not just saying, I'll look at it next week, but like, let's actually look into it now and see what we can do for a change.
And when you finished paying off a lot of your stuff, like okay, so for me, when I started like credit cards wouldn't look at me, right? And I got to that point where I was just broke and credit cards didn't like me. I my goal for the last how many years has been trying to fix my credit. Credit has been super important to me and what that means to me now. Nobody taught me about that. I wish I would have paid more attention in school because I don't think they teach you about credit and how to sign a check and
No.
how to do all these things that you know, I think are essential. Like nobody told me about 401k. And so I started like fixing that. And once I started fixing it, I think for me, one of my personal goals was to go to the gas station and just tell them to fill up the tank and not even look at my bank account.
Oh,
It was
yes.
such a good feeling. I was like, I'm an adult. This is
It's
adulthood.
really those small things, or like going to the grocery store and being like, I'm gonna get what I want because I'm freaking work 40 hours a week, and I deserve, if I want raspberries, even though they're $7 for the tiny carton, I deserve to get it. And it's those small things. It's about not having to check your, like you said, your balance in your checking account before you swipe your card at Target, because you're like, is this going to make me go overdraft? Which was my entire life up until me deciding I wanted to change things, because I was the girl at Target in the checkout line looking at, okay, this is maybe going to add up to 200, and I have 220 in my checking account. So as long as I don't go over that, I'm going to be okay. And that's not a way to live. That is the worst way to live.
Oh,
And
it's so
I get,
stressful.
oh, it's so stressful. And that's where I was saying about just like the clarity for me is a win with my clients, of just like knowing that they can fill up, or they can buy groceries, or if their kids need something for school, they don't have to worry about or tell them we can't afford this. Like, that to me is a bigger win than sometimes paying off debt. And that's why every time I ask clients or we start working together, it's like, what do you want? And like we said, sometimes it's about fattening up the savings account because you just want to make sure that your family is going to be okay. Sometimes you want to pay off that car. Sometimes you want to pay off student loan debt. And sometimes you just want to go on as many vacations as possible. And it's about whatever making, whatever maximizing the things that make us happy is all what I'm about. Because if we're not maximizing that, then what are we doing? And unfortunately, we live in a reality where money isn't infinite at the moment with our income, right? Of course, money is infinite and you can make billions of dollars. I believe in that money mindset, right? But we do only get a certain paycheck at a certain point. And so, knowing that, I can't, there's a good saying, it's I can't afford everything, but I can afford anything. And so, making sure that you just can afford what means the most to you and affording less of what doesn't.
Wow, you just like blew my mind. Are you guys listening to this? Come on, guys. 98.3 KMWV down the rabbit hole podcast. She's dropping like free game and like you guys are not listening. Are you listening? Because like that was amazing. I didn't really think about it when you put it into perspective like that. And it just blows my mind how I don't want to say simple it is, but how digestible it is. It's very easy to like comprehend because again you're not a big wig trying to like sell me something. You're definitely just it's very relatable and very common. You're using common words that we all know. I don't know, I just feel like I was expecting more of a like a car salesman. That's what I hate the most is when they try to car salesman you for anything, even if it's like these type of services or anything. It just definitely leaves a sour taste on my tongue, you know?
And it's all about like this is digestible and it's easy because it truly is like personal finance 101. And it is truly the worst part of our society that we don't teach people about this. And it's funny, one of a friend of mine who makes good money, more than I ever probably could make in my lifetime. They were like, "Why don't you just tell poor people that rich people are also on budgets?" And I'm like, "I don't think that's how it goes. I don't think you could just start telling the people that don't know anything about personal finance, hey, guess what? Rich people do this. You guys should probably do too." But it's a fact. No matter how much money you make, you have to be on a budget because, hey, let's say you make $5 million a year, right? Awesome, good for you. If your expenses are $10 million a year, you're still going into debt. And that is what this whole thing is about, is avoiding that. And so it's about doing more of what makes us happy. It's about spending less money that we make and kind of working a plan so that we can make sure we're hitting our goals, whether it's paying off debt or just making sure that you save enough for Christmas in 11 months. And I'm pitching it now. You should all have your Christmas budgets and you should all start saving for Christmas because it's going to be here before you know it. And so I try to keep it simple. I try to keep it light. Of course, it can be really daunting when you have six-figure credit card debt, or you are a one-income household and you lose a job, or you're facing foreclosure. There are some really, really scary things. But hopefully, if I can get in front of people before it gets scary and before it gets bad, we can avoid some of those situations.
And I like that. And then it can, because like a lot of those things you just mentioned are freaking terrifying. When people kill themselves for, debt, and it's, and, so I guess on a different note, when you did this, you seem very selfless. You seem very nice. You seem very like you care about people. You're not, again, you're not a used car salesman. What was the first thing you did when you realized you were out of debt? You finally made your last payment. You finally were at that level. Were you selfish? What did you do? What did you end up doing the first thing you did?
It's so funny because every time so I had like milestones in my like debt payment plan, like, right? Like, so I started off with like over $46,000. And I was like, when I get to 40 grand, I'm gonna like go to a happy hour with a girlfriend. When I get to like 30 grand, I'm gonna make Derek take me to dinner and I'm gonna order whatever I want on the menu, which I clearly did anyway, which is why I spent so much money in restaurants before that. And when I get to like single digit numbers, I'm gonna do this. And so, but it was like, once I got to debt free, there was like nothing that I wanted. There was I could have bought like the latest phone or like, gone like bought immediately tickets to go fly somewhere. And I was just like, I just had this calming sense of like, I finally did it. I'm finally done. Student loans, I will never in my life have to deal with them. And I will never in my life set up my kids or family members to poorly manage their finances like I did. And it wasn't because I was doing it on purpose. It was because I didn't know any better. And so I had this just big sigh of relief. And Of course, immediately after that, I was like, okay, now what do I want to do? And I started like saving for my emergency fund and planning. Like, then I started like planning and doing the things. But I was just so glad that I also immediately quit my waitressing job. I no longer was waitressing after work anymore. And so it's funny because I think what we want and like what we would do is totally different for everybody. And I was kind of surprised how I didn't go out and like splurge on something or like, but I just found happiness in like the peace that I no longer had to make that payment. And I'm in grad school right now and I'm paying for cash for it because I freaking refuse. And there's no way I'm ever having a student loan ever again. And so that's just my mission. And then it became my mission that from that day on to tell other people about it because it is something that is truly simple and truly life-changing that I don't think enough people know enough about.
How congrats on going to grad school. How far along are
Thanks.
you now? Like, and paying upfront cash, that's kind of a really big stunt, not gonna lie. Very big stunt.
It's like student loans all over again, where I'm saving the same amount of money per month, but I'm like, so it's called a snowball, or I guess it's called a sinking fund, but I'm snowballing money every single month so that at the end of my semester, I have the cash to just pay for it and be done with it, right? And that happens only from being intentional. I have to set aside. It can be really hard to set aside $600 a month for your student loan or for your tuition when you could easily take on one of those emails that you get from all those creditors being like, hey, take out a loan with us, 0%, or all that kind of stuff. But okay, wait. No, I'm totally. I was squirreling real hard there. Tell me what you even asked me. What was the question?
Because we're talking about how you're selfish, but then you did that, you've had this calming peace, but then like now you're in grad school, which is great, and you're paying it in cash. Now you're
Yes.
paying that in cash. So like, is there a change now? Because you said now you're snowballing, because you're
Yeah.
saving that money to pay it off. Right. You're paying it off first and
Yeah, and
then.
so I graduate. So I graduate in August. So I've been doing this for about a year and a half. It's a 2-year program. But so sinking funds, lesson of the day for everyone, come back to us if you're multitasking. Sinking funds are saving small amounts of money over a period of time so that when that event happens, when that thing happens, you have all this cash to be like, let's go do the thing now. So you can have sinking funds for Christmas, which is kind of what I pitched earlier of, hey, if you're going to spend $1,200 at Christmas, let's start saving $100 a month. And then when Christmas comes, ta-da, we have $1,200, right? And the same, you can do it with anything in your life. I have a sinking fund for probably way too many items, but grad school is one of them. So I did the math. I have a fancy spreadsheet. If anyone is curious to nerd out about it, definitely let me know and I can share my spreadsheet with you. But and I figured out tuition is this amount of money. I have to pay it this often. How much amount of money do I need to save per month to be able to afford my tuition bill without having to go into debt? And that total ended up being like $500 or $600 a month. So I just set $500 or $600 a month, the same as my student loan payment before, right? I just set it aside. And so when I have to pay that tuition bill, I have that money. But the fun part is if the world blew up and I needed cash, I have that money sitting in my sa savings account so I can actually use it for something else if I had to. But then also I'm not paying any interest on my tuition. And so I'm no longer paying 3 or 7 or 10%. I'm just paying for it right away. And then I don't have that like lingering. If I wanted to quit grad school today because I was like, this is no longer for me, I could walk away and not have any debt from it, which is a huge relief.
That's a big stunt too. I like that, the fact that you can do that. Like, not many people
Yeah,
can. So
yeah.
it's kind of like a mindset that you kind of have to really stick yourself to. You might have asked you a personal question.
Let's hear it.
Are you, well, it's not super brown, maybe it is, I don't know. Are you with somebody? Are you partnered up? Do you have a significant other? You got that SO with you?
I got married actually a couple weeks ago, and so
Yo, congrats.
I
Like
now have a husband, everyone.
that's
Yeah.
awesome. And
Yeah.
so does before and after marriage, did you guys, was your guys spending and you guys' saving, was that together or have you guys always been separate? And what tips do you have for people who are in relationships and how do you keep that? Everything thus far has been by yourself when you add
Yeah.
another person to it.
Yeah. I also have a free sheet that I give out to people on this on like the different ways to split money with somebody because it isn't like how we 1950s what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours anymore these days. And I don't see that a lot with people actually. And so Derek and I had been together for 6 years previous to getting married. And so for the first 5.5 years, we actually did everything separate. We had a joint house account at like, I think within a year of the relationship, but, and that was a joint account where stuff like the mortgage and like groceries would come out of other, and we would each put in the same amount of money each month into that shared account, then we could pay bills out of. But then otherwise, we each had our own money. And life was actually really good that way. And that's how I see a lot of people, even married couples, managing their money these days is sharing what they know is household and common good stuff, but then having their own money where I don't have to worry about somebody asking me, "Hey, I saw you spend $50 at Target. What'd you buy? Can we really afford that?" Like that creates a whole dynamic in relationships that just is toxic sometimes. So that is one way that you can split money with a spouse. About 6 months ago, Derek and I actually combined everything, which is a learning curve for people. And I'm sure everyone listening that shares money with somebody 100% is like, "Ooh, preach." Because but one thing I think the key to success with that is within our budget, within our combined incomes, we still have like a his and her money. And so I still have X amount of money per month, $250 or something, whatever it is, that I can blow on whatever I want without any questions being asked. And that way, we're just, when we combined our money, it was a way for us to see where is all of our money going? And we wanted to make sure that we were able to tackle our goals a little bit more aggressively. Other people, you can combine money by percentages of income. If I make double what my partner makes, maybe I pay for more of the bills because I can quote unquote afford it more. Otherwise, some people say I pay for all the kids' stuff, you pay for all the house stuff. And it's not at all equitable, but it's really easy to figure out who pays for what. And so there's a lot of ways that people can split money. Money is the number one cause for divorce, as we all know. And so I always say the biggest, most important thing that you just need to do is have a conversation, because what seems fair to you and I in a relationship may not seem fair to another couple in a relationship. So you just have to make sure what you're agreeing to in this relationship, sharing money with this person, that it feels okay to you. Because the last thing you want is to start having resentment or feeling like this isn't fair, or why do I have to pay for more, or how come you don't have to work and I have to work? And just having conversations with your partner is the biggest key to just figuring out how do we want to manage our money.
Oh God, preach, preach, 100% preach. Because like, telling you, like when I was in this relationship and I was putting myself in debt, it was for dumb stuff, and it was like, she'd be like, take out this credit card, and I'd be like, okay, because I don't know any better. And then I realized, oh, I'm not seeing anything out of this other than like I'm broke. You know what I mean? So I mean, I know what that toxic life is like. And like the more, you know, now my relationships are like more healthier, and I love it. And I think you're right. The important thing is talking about it, like. I think what I've seen work is that method of if you do make more money, you pay these things, and I'll pay everything else kind of thing. And I think that's great. I mean, I'm not knocking anyone down, because I think that's kind of the way to go. You just kind of have to see where your finances are at, and then like kind of make it work with each other. I've seen a lot of people, you're right, divorce or fight constantly over money, and it's awkward when you're going on like couple dates and they're just
Oh
like
yeah.
fighting over like the check.
And it's so degrading too to like have to like ask your partner all the time, "Why did you buy that? We can't afford that. What were you thinking?" Like, and it's exhausting from the person that's asking all the questions also. I truly don't believe that person wants to be asking all those questions, right? I don't want to be your mom. You don't want to be my dad, or however the dynamic works, but just having those conversations. And I think the other piece that's really important is to just like, for example, there's this thing called the pink tax. I'm not sure if you or your listeners
Oh,
are aware of
yeah.
it, but
Yes.
female products are just more expensive. And it's funny, not so, but if you look it up, if you look up razors when you go to Target next time, like shaving razors, they're more expensive for women than they are for men. And it's nobody knows why other than women will pay more for things. I truly believe a guy would just be like, "Fuck it, I'm not shaving anymore. It's too expensive," right? And the women are like, "I
Fact.
need to pay for that." Yeah, right. And so that was a conversation that Derek and I had to have that I'm glad he's a lot more chill about it, because I probably wouldn't have been. But my life just costs more money. I also like to be more social and go on more happy hours. I also happen to have more like national girls trips adventures. Is it okay that I'm spending more of our money and you're not? And then so that becomes a conversation of, is it okay? He was like, I don't care, do what you want. But if it was vice versa, I guarantee you, I would have been like, you're spending too much money. What are you doing? And so it is a total double standard. I fully admit that, but you have to have those conversations to see if your partner cares or not. And so then tonight when he's buying two pairs of sweatpants online and he's like, I want these, blah, blah, blah. The back of my brain goes, I go on three trips a year with my friends. He can buy the two sweatpants because it's not going to, you know, let him do what he wants to do. And so it's never equal, but it's about being okay and truly okay with the decision that you make with your partner, because you can't just say, yes, it's fine. And I'm the chill girlfriend. And, you know, nothing bothers me. Like, because we all have opinions and we all have thoughts, and you have to make sure that your voice is heard.
And with that pink tax, it's a real thing, people. Like I did have to look it up, and I saw it firsthand. I'm like, wow, we have the exact same thing. I even would like tell my girlfriend, like, yo, just use my razor. It's the same thing. It's just mine's black or silver. You know what I mean?
I use Derek's deodorant all the time, but I think it's out of laziness, not necessarily the pink tax. But and then also things like birth control cost money, and women need that, and guys don't, and like tampons, like not to bring up all these fun topics on your podcast, but
No, it's real though.
we just cost more money. And so are you with a if you have a male partner, are you with somebody that's okay with you spending that money? And if not, maybe it is best to just keep your finances separate, agreeing on how you're going to share what you have to share. That way there's no questions asked.
Is that why your main demographic is women when you, I know you have some men, but are your main, you target women when you offer your services because of that pink tax?
Not necessarily. I think that I just actually like attract like women because I'm like, hey girl, I'm like talking about tambons and stuff, and guys are probably like, okay, like she's a little much for me. But no, I you obviously have to target somebody, right? Like we all businesses have niches, and I just can understand women more. I don't understand how guys spend money on video games and whatever fantasy draft things they do, but I understand why you want to spend money on this razor versus this razor, or getting your nails done, or whatever the thing is. And so yeah, there's no shade against the guys. They're welcome aboard and follow me on all the socials. But I think I just, yeah, I'm a woman and I had a debt-free journey, and I just relate to women who want to be debt-free.
I like that. That's pretty cool because, like, when I started doing my podcast, I thought I was gonna like be a bro podcast, you know, like and just like talk to guys because this is how I talk. This is just how I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I did grow up with all my aunts and my mom and everything. I grew up with a mom, single mom, so like I do have like feminine qualities and I am in tune with my sensitivity. But like, I always thought I was gonna have like just an average podcast or a dude podcast, and then I looked at the analytics and, so far, we're at, I think now we're even higher, but more women listen to this podcast than men.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's kind of cool, man. It's like 56%, 57%. And then, like, the first 2 years, then it grew to like 60 something. And all from ages of 28 to 35 is my main
This is my demographic. We share the same
demographic.
audience. Hello, ladies.
Hi
Yes.
everyone. And I'm like, I guess this is cool. I'm so no, when you talk about tampons, I think tampons are great. I think that's all awesome. This is like, guys, we need these things, you know? And if you
They're
want to use
important,
pads, that's fine too. No judgment here.
right? Not at all. Or a cup, you know, whatever the new period underwear. There's lots of options these days, ladies. The key is to know what you prefer, put it in your budget, and make sure that your spouse isn't harping on you for your spending habits. And so.
Exactly, because toxic relationships are the worst, and especially when it comes to money. I hate that. I've seen it happen to myself. I've seen it with other people, and it's just so annoying. And I just wish people would get out of those toxic relationships because, like, money will do that to you straight up.
And there are so many different ways that like a relationship can become toxic or can become complicated or unhealthy, right? So if you're already in a relationship, like let's talk to those people right now, guy or girl, and it's maybe you're like, I don't know if this is the right long-term relationship for me, right? Let's not introduce money to the mix. Let's not start sharing money with this person or giving them access to your cards or offering to pay for everything because you feel bad. Let's not do that. Let's not add something potentially more complicated to the situation. But if you're in a healthy relationship and you're able to have honest conversations around, I don't know why, but it makes me angry when you buy the expensive deodorant. Like when you're allowed to have those conversations with your person, then I think it's really good to maybe start introducing sharing some level of your money. Because when we share, that's the biggest reason why I wanted to share money with Derek in a larger fashion, was because I felt like when I had extra money and when he had extra money, it was a little bit of extra money each that we just kind of blew on frivolous stuff because it wasn't big enough to like account for anything. If we take that same amount of extra money, but we're sharing expense, we're sharing money now, that might be a little bit noticeable at this point of like, instead of like an extra $50 that we each had that we blew, we have an extra $100 and exponentially bigger when it's, we're talking about bigger numbers. And then maybe that $100 should actually be going towards a goal that we have versus just like blowing each of us $50. And so I was like, where are there levels of waste that we're not even aware of because I'm not looking at your spending and you're not looking at mine.
Right. No, I see that, because I don't know. I just feel like maybe, like, well, then there's also the guys who are like, going back to the other, like the toxic ones, like you're in a relationship, you want to save money for yourself, or maybe you want to get out of this relationship because they keep taking from you. And it's like, what do you do in that case? So I can totally see how somebody really needs to like find a way to budget properly, because I'm not gonna lie, dudes, we suck. And how many times I've seen, like, at Best Buy, that guy holding on to his girlfriend's waist and just like, thanks, babe, you know, like,
Oh God.
and he's like, thanks, babe, for buying me this PlayStation, but like, he doesn't do anything, you know? I'm not a fan, so I can totally see how, you know, it's really important to like market to women, and I really want, like, if anything, I can care less for men getting debt free. As rude as that sounds, like, I'd rather see like females come up on that.
They probably deserved it anyway. No, I think it all, like thinking about like women specifically, I think we're having our moment in history where we're becoming a little bit more independent and we are not relying on men. Like it wasn't that long ago when a woman had to have a man sign a piece of paper for her to open up a checking account or for her to buy a home or I mean, we still need signatures from men in order to have like certain surgeries for reproductive health, right? Which is so crazy. And so I just love empowering women as much as I can. And I love just helping anybody who feels like I want to do better, just giving them the knowledge to do that because it's entirely possible. But we just have to know what we're working with and where we want to go.
And so, as I'm winding down, I'm loving everything you're throwing at me. Guys, if you're listening, I hope you're listening. You have to be listening, because what are we talking to, right? But I hope you're taking this free game, because this is a lot of knowledge that, honestly, like, they don't teach you in schools. They don't teach you. This is like real life, like, lessons that you should really be taking. It's not like not like, remember when you were in school, your teacher's like, you're never gonna have a calculator in your pocket, and like, now we have cell phones, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So like, I feel like most of us aren't prepared financially to save, and or even not even just to save, but financially prepared for anything. So I think with people like you who actually offer their services, I think it's a really cool thing that you offer. I'm glad that you're so approachable. I'm glad that you're so, like, you're not a hard ass to people. And I feel that vibe, and I like that. And so when you do all this, right? And you got all this going on, you just got married. I'm just really curious, like, where do you go from here? And what's good in your life? Because, I mean, you did it. I mean, you did what most people are dying for.
Checkbox, right? It's one of those simple things that we always want more. And unfortunately, I'm human and we're always there. And so right now I'm working on just getting through grad school debt-free and paying for that. I'm working I'm a big believer in like new year, new you kind of stuff, not in like a I'm going to be different, but like a it's a clean slate and what do I actually want to do this year? And so I always have goals. Like one year I had like 12 bibs in 12 months where I wanted to run 12 races. Granted, they were mostly 5Ks. That still counts, right? And so this year I have like we want to do like a kitchen remodel and we want to pay for as much as possible with cash. We are gonna take out a loan for one, but it's gonna be one of those fancy like tricks where you do like 0% APR for the first year and then like play it off in the first year so that you don't ever pay for interest and all those kind of hacks and stuff. But yeah, I'm just looking to like also let the world open up again. I'm stuck not in my routine, not being as social or as active as I want to be, but that's okay because it's kind of where we are. And so I created just a couple of budgets actually the other night. I call them mini budgets and they're basically like for like vacation and that kind of stuff. And so finding hope in saving for some smaller trips that we have coming up this year, paying off for the kitchen, graduating from school, And then, of course, just continuing to grow Money Gal and talking to as many people as I can about a budget.
Boom. Love it. I love that for you. I think that's perfect. Now I just want to do really one quick thing before we head out. I just want you to do all your shameless plugs. I want you to tell everyone where I can find you, where we can find everything about you. I want everyone to definitely seek you out. I think this is super important, especially if you're, around our age, in our 30s, where you're just like, you didn't grow up learning these things. And you made a couple of mistakes in your early years. It does get better.
Absolutely. 30s are where it's at, y'all. If you're not there yet, get ready. But Money Gal Coaching, I am all over the place. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, moneygalcoaching.com, moneygalcoaching@gmail.com. Find me wherever. And Ditch Debt and Live Rich is my Facebook group. So I'll say that again. It's Ditch Debt and Live Rich. It's free, but you have to join the group. It's a private group. And I just throw out free trainings and all of my free material goes there first. And so if you're serious about wanting to change your life, I would join that group. You can also sign up for my newsletter on my website. But I would argue that you can get out of debt for completely without paying me a penny. You just have to dig into the material on my website. I give all of it away for free. I do not, there are no tricks that I'm like hiding from you. You just have to put in the work. And for those that want some accountability, and that they want to just have somebody to hold their hand along the way because it's a scary, scary adventure sometimes. I'm always available for coaching. And so, yeah, hit me up and let's just talk and have some conversations about, are you ready? Is this for you? And is it possible?
Thank you so much again for taking the time to have this conversation with me and opening my eyes to financial freedom from a different perspective. I think this is the coolest thing ever. You guys listen to 98.3 KMWV Down the Rabbit Hole podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now officially on iHeartRadio, which is kind of a cool flex now. Again, thank you so much. And everyone, check out her. Everything, her whole social media. I think that, yeah, join the group and it's all free material. Just take the time to think into it and do it.
Thanks so much.